Welcome to episode 4 of Game Over Nation podcast. I'm your host, Javi Rodriguez. With me this week is Ryan De La Rosa.
Smart.
Dylan Roush.
That was actually pretty manly sounding of you.
Damn right. All right. Let's hop right into news. You know what happened this... Well, Jesus. Last week, fucking PSP2, codenamed Next Generation Portable, was announced. What do you guys think of it?
This is the big
That's
one.
A shitty name.
Yeah, I think it's hope code that's not name. The official name.
It can't be. The front of the console says PlayStation.
You say
on
it can't be, but they called the Move the Move.
I don't think that's a bad name at all. I think that's perfect for what it is. And I don't know. But Next Generation Portable, I mean, you look at the console itself, it just says PlayStation, and they're gonna figure something out for it. It's gonna have a different name for sure. I mean, they're not going to sell anything as Next Generation Portable on a store shelf. But I think they're trying to remove that negative stigma that comes with being PSP. Because PSP just kind of has this, you know, everybody thinks it's a huge failure. They want to refresh the franchise, I guess. You know, reboot it.
Yeah. Well, they really need to. I mean,
yeah. I don't know if it was the console selling that was the failure. It was the... piracy, just the rampant piracy on that thing.
Well, nevertheless, I mean, no matter what the cause is, you say PSP and people in the industry roll their eyes. They're like, oh god, what a failure, you know, or like, it's because they always compare it to the DS,
right? Which compared to the DS, most things are a failure.
Totally.
Yeah, it's kinda, it's almost unfair in that sense.
Yeah. If our listeners don't know much about the NGP, it's the PSP's successor, I guess, and it has almost PS3 graphics. They showed off Uncharted, and they announced Resistance for it, and Killzone for it, and Little Big Planet for it. It's gonna be a fucking beast. And they showed Metal Gear Solid 4's opening cutscene being rendered on the handheld, and Lost Planet 2 was converted in a matter of 2 weeks to run on it, you know. So this is very fucking close to what's on your TV, you know. It's very close to the PS3's power.
Yeah. Converted, as in they just directly ported it.
Well, they ported but they had to turn off
some textures and stuff
like
that.
Yeah, take off some effects.
It's not quite obvious. Obviously, it's not quite the PS3.
Yeah.
But gotcha.
That's damn close.
I'm just curious, can we expect tons of that direct ports? And
that's the problem.
I would hope not. I would hope not see too much of it.
That's what I've been thinking about. Like, you know, they announced the next Call of Duty is going to be on the NGP, which basically to me makes it clear that this is going to be out before the holiday, or for the holiday, and.
I don't know that makes it clear. Just because it's going to be on it doesn't mean it's going to come out released
the next,
with everything
the
else.
The next Call of Duty is going to be Modern Warfare 3. You can just
right.
say
and it'll
assume.
Probably come out this year, but that doesn't mean that system has to be out, and that doesn't mean it has to release on the same day.
I think the only guarantee you have
Modern
there
Warfare
is sales.
Next
then.
Year for the handheld, I think.
I don't see why they wouldn't. They've done shit like that before.
I guess.
Even if they release it in November, they could... If they released Modern Warfare in November, I could see them releasing it for a handheld in February, January. I don't
sure.
Yeah, but I could see the next generation portable, whatever, being released this year. To
well, they said
try
they
want to
have it. They
want to
have it
3DS.
Out. Yeah, they said they want to have it out in one territory by the end of the year.
But that's besides the point that I was making. I'm just trying to say that, like, okay, so. You know, you have to assume, since it's so similar to the PS3 as far as power, you know, is what's stopping Activision from just releasing Modern Warfare 3 on the PS3 and then releasing a little bit nerfed version of the exact same game for the NGP? You know, and then if that's the case, if you're releasing the same games at the same on the same date for the same for two consoles that are both owned by Sony, then they're going to be cannibalizing their own sales. You know, like, what's the point of releasing two things that have the same games? You know what I mean?
Now, what I could see that was cool is if you paid like $10 extra for the PS3 version and got the game, and then you could move your saves from one to the other, you know, yeah, play it on the go.
That's what Hideo Kojima said when he came out. He's like, I'm not announcing anything, but, you know, we're working on something and we'll show you at E3. And he says his vision is a game that you play on your PS3 and then you can continue playing it on your NGP and bring it with you. Right. So that's great. That's very cool.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Activision's not thinking like Kojima, man.
Yeah.
Probably not. But, I mean, it would make sense. Like, that's one way to keep from, like you said, cutting into your own sales. Just have a special edition that, like I said, is $10 more, comes with the PS or the NGP version, and saves are compatible between them. That'd be kind of cool.
You know, even if it is a direct port, I foresee monster sales regardless.
Yeah. I don't see monster sales for the...
Really? You don't think people will buy a PSP just for that?
No.
I mean, I certainly won't.
Well,
but
that brings us back to the other kicker, which is no one knows how much this thing's going to cost yet.
Right. Well, I mean, before we get to price, let's talk about, like, for people that might not be informed, what this thing is exactly. I mean, we already talked about how powerful it is. It's going to be backwards compatible. It plays all PSP games digitally, of course. It doesn't have a UMD slot drive or whatever. It has dual analog sticks, finally. It has a touch panel on the back and then a touch screen on the front. It's got gyrometers.
It's capacitive, so it doesn't need a stylus or anything.
Yeah.
It's like your iPhone or your fingers, Android or something.
It's got gyrometers, so you can, like, move it. Actually, what was a really interesting tech demo at the show, they had a 3D world, and you could move the actual console around as if you're moving the camera within the world, so it would just turn with you and tilt with you. So it's pretty interesting stuff. So it's got all this tech, and it's got 3G, wireless internet, and all this good stuff. So you have to imagine, like, all the stuff that's in here, it has to be really, really expensive. Like you said, Ryan, this is cutting edge.
Yeah, I mean, it's really impressive, but God, how much is it going to cost? And also, what I've heard, only some models will have 3G, which also makes me wonder, if only some models are coming with 3G, is this going to be like an iPad thing where you have to sign up for some service provider along with it?
3G alone is going to put that thing over $300.
No, because 3G is a $12 chipset.
Yeah, 3G is running
not even $12. It's probably like a couple of cents, you know, when you really boil down to on the...
I don't know. The difference between the iPads are like $100 for just 3G that we sell at Target.
Yeah, that's true. But, yeah.
All it has is that 3G, Apple. And it's like $100 extra.
The problem is that's Apple's choice in, you know, changing the price range for each thing, but... If you're Sony right now, you're trying to cut costs, or you're trying to make this as cheap as fucking possible. You know, like, you know, and if
unless they didn't learn from the first one.
See, but the other thing is, if it's supposed to have the level of graphics close to the PS3, does that mean they're going to be losing money for every console that they sell?
Of course it is. Of course.
So that does so
to make money.
Why wouldn't
this,
they try and sell it for as high as they could?
Because you never make money on a console at launch, other than Nintendo with the Wii. That's never been the case with any console. You
but
always
they,
lose
they,
money.
They had a representative who said they wanted it to be profitable from the start. Now, no
if that's
telling
the case,
what that means.
They're
no
insane.
Telling what that means. Yeah,
because that's going to be another $500-$600 fucking
God,
thing.
It can't be. It can't.
Yeah,
be.
So that can't be true. I mean, that guy's.
Yeah, I felt like he was blowing smoke. Like, either you're gonna have to sell it at a loss, or you're gonna have to sell it for too much.
Yeah,
I mean, I have a hard time believing it's gonna run at that level constantly, anyways. But even if it does, I can't see that price being cheaper than $350.
I mean, you know? It's a case of, you know, this is the most advanced portable anything that we've seen. Like, you know, that's been on the market. It literally, it's the most advanced and powerful portable, you know, thing out there.
Yeah,
and
so
I agree. This is going to be, you know, I mean, Sony is crazy. They're shooting themselves in the nuts if they're going to, I don't know. You know, I think they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. I mean, I was talking on Tiny Chat today with a bunch of people, and I'm like, let's say Sony went crazy and went really aggressive and made it exactly the same price as the 3DS. So you have this amazing PS3 capable handheld for $250, you know? And that's not going to happen. But let's say they did, right? They still wouldn't outsell the 3DS. You know they wouldn't, because Nintendo owns the market. Even though it's clearly like the best bang for your buck, it's you'd be retarded not to buy that over the 3DS. They're going to fail. And you know that's not the case. They're going to charge more than that. Yeah. So Sony's, they've screwed themselves with this.
I mean, I had said this from the start, and I said it in the roundtable thing that we did a while ago, just almost jokingly, but I mean, things that get that kind of reduced technology that costs that much that gets a price reduction that makes it reasonable are things that come with a 2-year service contract. You know, cell phones. I mean, the cell phone I have, if I just buy it, is like $600 bucks. But you get it with a service contract for $200.
I mean, that's a point that Walter made when he was on the Tech Fetish podcast on IGN. He said that, you know, Sony's it seems like they're getting in bed with Sprint, and maybe they're going to sell, like, since there's two versions of this thing, the 3G version very well may come with a data plan that goes through Sprint, and when you buy it through that data plan with a 2-year contract, the console may be significantly cheaper.
Exactly. Yeah.
But the thing is, I mean, this is a point that Scott Lowe made on that same podcast, is like consumers are terrified of contracts, especially when you're doing a contract for something that's not a phone. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah.
For a gaming system?
You don't even know if it's going to be usable. What if it completely fails? I mean, at least you have some confidence that your phone service is always going to be there.
Yeah. You know? Well, not even
it's just
the idea of paying for a monthly fee for your handheld gaming console. No, exactly. I mean, just saying that right now, no, I'm uncomfortable with that. Well, there's no way I'd do that.
I mean, yeah, I am too, which is why, you know, you look at something like the Kindle, Amazon's reading device.
Yeah.
It uses a 3G. I don't know who they get their time or who they get their bandwidth from, but you don't have to pay for that 3G. Yeah. And I don't know, but you got to imagine that something like the Kindle, as wildly as it sells and people are downloading books, like, it's still not going to require the amount of data transfer that something like the NGP would.
Yeah.
Unless the NGP only uses 3G for incredibly simple things like checking out the PlayStation Store and, you know, checking your friends list or whatever. But I guarantee you that, you know, online multiplayer is going to be done strictly via Wi-Fi or local, you know, connection. So,
but then again, like the whole reason, like what I just said about, you know, getting some leasing 3G off of someone else and, you know, offering it to your customers for free, like, part of what makes me think that that's not going to happen is the fact that there's likely going to be two versions. There's going to be a version with and a version without, and I could see that being, you know, the cause for something like a contract of some sort, or paying, you know, month to month or something, you know, some kind of paid service for your data, and that's why they have an option that doesn't include 3G.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, like I said, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't. I mean, I guarantee you this thing is not going to be cheaper than $300.
Yeah.
And that's too much for me. And not only that, but like, the thing's bigger than the original PSP. Like, it's bigger. Like, and that thing barely fits in your pocket as it is. And I'm a big like fan of handhelds that can fit in your pocket comfortably, you know? And the idea, and also the analog sticks are protruding out of it. I mean, this thing is not portable.
I also think, you know, you're saying it's not going to be at 300. I think a big red flag as to that being absolutely true that it won't be under is that I think if that thing was going to be under 300 and they knew it, like, there would have been banners with the price tag. Like, I think I saw it on Penny Arcade. They're like, there would have been banners at the press release that said, "This motherfucker's $249.
That's totally
or something.
True.
Like, totally there would have two, even if it was $275, you know, like, more than the DS, but under 300, or 3DS, but under 300.
They would be
like,
bragging about that shit.
There would be banners everywhere. Like, you wouldn't be able to walk out your door. You'd have one in your neighborhood.
I guarantee you, right now, they're having meetings in their boardrooms, just like, well, if we price it at this much, I mean, how much of a loss are we looking at per system, and then how much would we have to sell to make it up? You know, they're in a tight spot, and it's their fault for throwing all this shit in there. I mean, you can make any giant corporation can make something on the cutting edge that's mind blowing at the time, but that's not a good business decision. You know, you're fucking yourself over.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to bring up when the original PSP was announced. I remember all that talk about how advanced and how great it looked and stuff, but it still didn't sell nearly as well as the DS. So I mean, it kind of I'm catching the same vibe now that I just as we did back then, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's really sad that history is repeating itself. I mean, that's what we were talking about on Tiny Chat today. It's like this is the same position, you know, where the DS is obviously underpowered. You know, it wasn't that impressive, and then you look at the PSP and oh my god, it's PS2 graphics in your pocket. Holy shit! But that's not enough to make consumers go out and spend a ridiculous amount of money for it.
Then also with the
it was enough for me, and I regretted it.
With the added gimmick of 3D, it can also be compared to the Wii versus the PS3 launches.
Yeah,
like Nintendo's going to be able to sell their gimmick despite the PS3 being a far superior system.
Yeah, well, and not only that, but like the DS brand is a fucking monster.
Oh, exactly. Yeah,
and
for sure.
3DS, you know, it's almost like the DS Lite was the DS2, and the 3DS is almost like the third iteration. You know, this is the next step. You know, everybody wants it, and people that are just casual gamers that just enjoy playing games on their DS, they're going to see this and be like, oh my god, that's the next one? Holy shit, it's 3D on my little handheld, you know, that I've been playing. And the graphics are way better.
I'm willing to bet there's a lot of people out there that, like you were saying, just have a DS and don't even own a console of any kind.
Totally, totally.
Well, like I think I've played my DS more than any other console I have, more than the PlayStation or the Xbox, you know?
Yeah. You're weird. <I'm kidding. laughs> Nah. So, I mean, that's all we can really say about NGP. It's all speculation, but, I mean, I think it's a disaster from the get-go. No matter where they price it, even if they match the 3DS's price, they're going to lose. I think.
Yeah. I mean, I just hope they weren't betting on going out there and showing all this impressive technology and hoping that was enough again, you know?
It looks like it.
Yeah.
I mean, if they have an aggressive, like, launch, you know, like with a lot, they have Uncharted ready to go, and if it's not a port of Uncharted 1, which is what it looks like. Well, actually, it looks like a port of Uncharted 2. It's the Borneo.
No, I've already read some about it. It is not going to be a port.
Great.
And it is awesome. It's not being made by Naughty Dog either.
Oh wow!
Naughty Dog is overseeing it, but it's the people that made, I want to say the people that made the PSP Resistance title. Do you know who that is?
Oh man, I don't know the studio, but I know that game was like fucking awesome. So that's very good.
That's who was doing it. If you could tell me the name, I could tell you for sure. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that's who it was.
What's up?
I was gonna say, is their launch lineup confirmed?
No, they just announced handful of games, didn't give any launch window or anything. So, but I'm very curious about I can't remember. It's like Ready at Dawn, maybe, or something with an R.
Yeah,
it's the studio that made Daxter. They made the God of War, like both God of War games for the PSP. They are amazing. Like that team should be making games for the console, if you ask me. And so I'm really curious what they're taking on. Maybe it's the next Resistance or Killzone, who knows, for the NGP. I'd assume they're sticking with the handheld. So
if the lineup launch up's gonna be gonna blow Nintendo's out of the water.
Yeah, Nintendo's launch window or the launch lineup is pretty weak.
It was kind of weak.
Yeah, it's totally weak.
But I believe Professor Layton was on there, and Professor Layton's pretty awesome.
Yeah, but that's,
I can't think of anything else off the top of my head.
That's one game, and it's kind of like a cult classic, you know? It's not like a big name, you know?
Yeah.
You think they'd launch with Zelda.
Like I said, I can't think of their launch lineup off the top of my head, but I know that one for sure.
Yeah. All right, so next up, speaking of 3DS, today it was announced that fucking Mario is coming to 3DS, which to that I say, duh. Yeah.
Is this news?
It kind of is, though. I mean, like, obviously it was bound to happen, but it's nice to know that they're working on it actively right now.
So, which Mario will we get a remake of?
You know, personally, I really think Nintendo's
Super Mario World.
I really think Nintendo's gonna try to make Mario Galaxy on the 3DS. Not a port, but a new Mario Galaxy, but for the 3DS.
I could see that being pretty cool.
I think that would be fucking amazing. And since it has a proper analog stick, I couldn't be happier if that's the case. But that's just me guessing. If they go like straight up like new Super Mario Brothers 3, I'll be pretty pissed off, honestly. I'm not gonna lie. Like, that would be such a disappointment for me.
But if new Super Mario 3 was the levels were pretty much were the same. If they did the side scroller with all new shit, I wouldn't mind as much.
No, new you Super know? Mario Brothers were new games. They were.
I thought it was basically Mario Brothers 3.
No, not at all. Oh. Not even close. They didn't even have the raccoon suit or anything.
Why the hell did you call it New Super Mario 3?
I'm saying if they made a new Super Mario Brothers, you know how like there's New Super Mario Brothers on the DS and then New Super Mario Brothers Wii, and I guess this would be a third one, New Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, okay, that's what you meant by 3.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, like, if they make another 2D Mario, I'm not going to be happy. I want a proper 3D platformer. So, but yeah, so that's coming, and so get excited. Yeah, doggy.
But when?
I don't know, but they're making it, so at least... Finally, we got Splinter Cell Trilogy and the Prince of Persia Trilogy are... I mean, this was kind of speculated a few months ago, but now it's like straight up official. We got screenshots of HD Splinter Cell and Prince of Persia has been out for a while, but now they're coming all three on a disc to PS3 only, which is interesting. Cause Splinter Cell was always an Xbox kind of title. I know it was multi-platform, but I always thought of the original Xbox.
I don't think the original Splinter Cell was on the Xbox.
Really?
I have it for PlayStation 2.
Was it like Chaos Theory or like one of the sequels?
Pandora Tomorrow and Chaos Theory are for sure on the Xbox. Well, I don't know.
Wasn't one of them like Xbox exclusive? I thought.
Conviction.
Well, no. I mean like one of the original Xbox.
Oh.
I thought Chaos Theory.
No, because Chaos Theory is on the PC.
Well, I mean, that's kind of.
Yeah, console Microsoft, exclusive. Yeah.
You might be right.
Anyways, yeah, so they're all... those trilogies are coming to PS3 for sure now. Honestly, I'd give Splinter Cell another shot. It was a little too, like, hard. It was frustrating for me, but I think I'd like to give it a shot. Try to get into it. But
I know the first one was not my cup of tea.
Yeah, that's the only one I played. I had it for PC. It's, like, super fucking hard.
Nah, it just wasn't. I didn't have a problem with the difficulty. I just, it wasn't my thing.
Real quick, I was just confirming that I saw this somewhere else, but I was making sure. Sony Bend, that's who made it, is making the Uncharted game.
Cool.
Yes.
Sony Bend. Is that the Sony's answer to Wii Fit?
Sony Bend. No, that's a studio.
Aha. I know.
Zing! No. All right, so... I guess it's time for some new releases. I mean,
it's new.
It's new. It's releasing. All right. First up, most importantly, we got Bionic Commando Rearmed 2, which I'm a big fan of the original. What do you guys think about this
game? I liked it at PAX. Honestly, that's the only time I've ever played it or anything. So,
I didn't really play the first Rearmed.
So. What? Oh, the first one's awesome.
Dude.
I played part of the demo, but I never bought it.
You should get it on the PS3 then and just
play it
online.
Well, there's no online.
There isn't.
Multiplayer, so you might as well get it on 360.
We did local on yours, I remember.
But, dude, the soundtrack alone is worth... It's $10, man. That's a game you owe it to yourself to pick up. It's $10, and it's phenomenal. And the soundtrack alone is worth $10, for sure. Yep. Yeah, great, great, great game.
Hell yeah, we knocked shit off Javi's speakers with that soundtrack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bionic Commando Rearmed 2 is done by a totally different studio. There were some rumors that a lot of Grin, the studio that shut down that made the first one, a lot of the team members were working on this one, but apparently that's not totally true. I was watching Giant Bomb's live stream, and they were playing the new one, and they were saying that that's a misconception. You know, I don't know why they. I mean, I guess they're being honest, but that kind of like turns people off. If you ask me, I wouldn't even bring it up. But they're like, yeah, the Grin team doesn't really have anything to do with this game. We took their assets and we kind of worked with them. Huh. But they said
that game was so bad. We just don't want you guys to think.
Yeah, yeah. And then, but they did get the guy that made the music to come back and make all original music for the second one, so that's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't want to speak. I mean, I had the, like, 5-minute demo that me and Dylan played, which was fine. And then I watched some of the, like, trial rooms on Giant Bomb that were okay. But, yeah, I don't want to speak too soon. Maybe the game's really awful, which I hope it's not.
Yep. I only saw Joystick had their review up. They gave it 3 out of 5.
Oof, that's harsh.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't read it though, so I'm not sure what he actually thought of it. But
yeah.
But before the guy that wrote it posted it on Joystick, he put on Twitter, he's like, "I'm really nervous right now," and then he put up the link to the review, and he was like, "And this is why."
Yeah, I mean, the first one was hard. It was pretty tough. I mean, you had to. Especially if you're playing by yourself. If you're playing with a friend, you can just be an asshole and just mess around. But if you're playing by yourself, yeah. The game's very technical. You know, you got to time your swings just right, know how to shoot guys without getting hit yourself. You know, so maybe this game was, you know, not what that reviewer was looking for. But I'm not going to make excuses for it. I haven't played through it. So maybe it is not that great. That's what I've been hearing around the internet, which is disappointing. Since I'm a huge fan of the first. But, yeah, that's Bionic Commando Rearm 2. Next up is Call of Duty Black Ops First Strike Map Pack. It's going to be $15.99 or $14.99, I bet.
Oh, man, it could be free, and I still wouldn't play it.
Well, I don't have Black Ops, so...
Me neither. Same here.
But, yeah, there's that, if you're interested, listeners. But that's all the new releases, really. Worth talking about. Let's go on.
What are some of the ones that aren't worth talking about?
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna poo-poo all over Black Ops because that's the popular thing to do. You know, Call of Duty is the Michael Bay kind of games of the year. They're really entertaining. They're really fast and stupid, but they're fun.
I think you misheard what I said.
Oh,
I said what are some of the ones that aren't worth talking about?
I thought you said and some that are not worth playing.
No,
I think that you're saying that out loud that you're not gonna poop on it, but that right there, you're thinking it.
No, because
when you thought Ryan called it shit.
Yeah, it was.
You're projecting.
Yeah,
I'm projecting what Dylan says every 5 seconds. I'm like talking about Modern Warfare 3 is probably gonna be announced at E3, and Dylan's like, it's gonna be a game of show. I'm like, what? How do you figure? All right. Anyways, let's go on to what we've been playing or recommending. Let me write the timestamp. 8:14. All right, Ryan, what have you been doing?
I have been. I guess what I've been playing most at home has been Dead Space, the original. I finished it last night. Really good game. It was, really good. I'm excited to get into the second one. I don't know if I'm going to... I think I might need to play something else before I jump into 2 to kind of cleanse the palate a little bit and get unfreaked out. Because there's some creepy-ass parts in that game. Like hearing a faint voice... this didn't make a lot of sense to me, but it's like you hear this really faint, like... I don't know if you'd call it like a little girl or maybe a child, like singing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star, and it's kind of creepy, but it's like the game...
It's the marker fucks with Isaac's... It fucks with everybody's mind around it.
That's what I was thinking. That's the only explanation I could think of, because it was like, this game isn't about being haunted. Like nothing is haunted.
Yeah.
So, I just figured it was kind of him going crazy.
Yeah.
And then, especially, you know, with all you know, him seeing his girlfriend and all that stuff, he's clearly losing it a bit. And I never trusted that bitch from the beginning, the one that...
She was such a cunt to everybody.
Yeah, like, I never trusted her from the start. So, like, it sucked when she's like, see ya, but I was, like, not surprised at all.
how fucking sweet was it when she finally got her comeouppance?
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. It's like,
oh, I'll take it, bitch. And they, like, rub her into the ground.
Yeah, she just gets smeared across the ground. And it you hear the little, like, heartbeat monitor stop and go to static.
Yeah, so good.
Yeah. You guys were kind of right about that final boss. It wasn't...
Such a pushover.
It was fine, I guess. I mean, after the abuse the game put you through and all that, like, I almost felt like it was kind of justified. Like, just get it over with. Like, here it is. Just finish it.
I think it was still a core boss in the anus.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The butthole.
But also, were you guys talking about how every time you died, you'd have to rewatch the whole fucking cutscene?
No.
I thought you were, because, you know, it picks you up.
I didn't die.
It picked me up, and, like, I could not aim from that angle. Like, it was doing all kinds of fucked up shit. I was, like, trying to get it to aim. I'm like, God damn it. So I died,
remember,
like,
that
twice.
Fight was – I see, the first time I played it, I was using – I was doing the pistol only. Or, I mean, the whatever, plasma cutter only. And it was such a bitch to aim.
Yeah. Well, I was using the rifle.
The pulse gun makes that fight cake.
Yeah, well, other than that part, yeah, I didn't even get touched. It was just I died twice in that part because I couldn't get all four of those little nubs, or two or three, however many are left of those nubs, before it ate me. Yeah. And then it ate me twice, and you have to watch that whole thing where you walk out, and you see the bitch get smeared, and then it's, like, yelling at you when it jumps up. You have to watch that whole thing over again. And then it starts. But, yeah, once I would get to that real easy, and then it – once I got past the next part, it was just run right, slam, fire. Run left, slam, fire. Like, it was, it wasn't all that terribly difficult, but, you know, whatever.
Honestly, I thought the hardest part of the game was the asteroids part.
Oh, dude, my God. Me too. Yes, I retried that so many times.
Try getting that fucking achievement where it's like, nice shooting, kid, or whatever, like, reference to Star Wars. Mm-hmm. Like, Jesus Christ, what the
What's fuck? What's that one?
Or wait, no. It's not the asteroids part. Well, I think there are.
You mean
asteroids.
The gun range?
It's when you're taking down the monster. Because there's one part where you're shooting asteroids, and there's one part where you're killing a monster. You have to kill the monster with at least 70% of your hole integrity left.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
That is so fucking hard, and I did.
I hated the turret mechanics. Period.
Yeah, they. It was kind of like, why do I have two triggers if I'm aiming the same thing? Like, it was just weird. Like, why not just fire them both? It was, it didn't seem...
Because they overheat?
But then again, I always have a problem with turret sync sequences like that. I think that was my biggest annoyance during Sly Cooper as well, were the turret sequences.
For me, those were always fucking easy, man. Yeah. Both.
Well, you know, say what you will, and I was fed up with it was your front mission, but the turret sequences hanging out of a helicopter or whatever those things were really fucking satisfying because you were way overpowered and everything you grazed just exploded.
Same in Modern Warfare 2, man. You're just fucking in the helicopter with the chain guns, blowing shit up.
Like, it was just you had dual chain guns, and if you hit the bumpers, it would just fire a barrage of missiles, like just tons of them. As long as you held it down, it kept firing missiles. Like,
I liked Bad Company 2's turret sequences.
Bad Company,
especially the one in the where you're flying out of the jungle and the helicopters are in pursuit.
Yeah, it's been a while since I played it.
Ah,
I kind of remember.
All right. Well, speaking of Dead Space, I've been playing Dead Space 2.
Wait, I'm not
done. Oh.
That's not
a... See, that was like the perfect segue, and you just took a giant dump on my... Okay, go ahead.
I did. The only other thing is just, you know, my weekly MechCorps update, because I went and worked a convention with them over the weekend, which there's some really nice, really ridiculous pictures of me in military BDUs dressed up for this thing on my Facebook page right now. Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous, but man, it was.
Did you get me any Warhammer stuff?
No, actually, you know, I didn't really see any Warhammer going on there, which was surprising.
Yeah, no kidding. What the
hell? There was some stuff being sold, but it was a lot of games I didn't really recognize. I saw the BattleTech tabletop game being played. Those guys had a really nice, elaborate, handmade map that they had built.
Yeah, they're pretty impressive. Same with War Machine stuff is really impressive too.
Yeah. But it was kind of cool. We're like the only video game presence there. So we were like set up in the back of the room with four of the Battletech pods. And, it'd come in waves, but it was kind of cool to see people come up and be like, oh my God, I've seen these before. Either they saw them last year or they saw them at another convention or back at Dave and Buster's and whatnot. And we were even, we were able to get in a few games because in the evening, people would be playing their tabletop games or whatever. So sometimes it would slow down because people would be really heavily into their games. You kind of tell when a game would end because you'd get a line at the back. But, you'd get people that would walk up and they'd want to play against some of us. So we'd get to jump in and play. And I don't know. It was a good time. It was a really good experience overall. I'm looking forward to doing another one. I think they have the furthest they go is like Georgia. So I'm going to try to go to that one in Atlanta in a few months. Ooh. But yeah, it's a good time. Good times.
I want to try this out.
Yeah, it'd be great if we could get everyone over here to try it out at some point. You guys need to come visit.
Yeah, yeah.
Go blow up robots.
Javi.
Well, speaking of Dead Space, I've been playing Dead Space 2. Dead Space 2. Jesus.
You're late.
If you could have, if we would have recorded the podcast like the night after I got the game, I would sound like a insane fanboy, like just drooling over everything that this game is about. Because like I'm really curious, like seeing a lot of people's second opinions about like whether, and most people, like 9 out of 10, say Dead Space 1 is infinitely better than the second one. I don't know. Bro, I haven't finished it yet.
Huh? Infinitely better, I don't think I've heard. I don't even know that I've heard anyone straight up say the first one was better.
I've only heard that the first one was scarier. And I imagine that's because you didn't know what the hell to expect.
Well, IGN did that huge, second opinion or whatever with like 6 or 7 people's opinions about Dead Space 2, and like one of the questions was Dead Space 1 or 2, like which is better or something like that, and almost all of them said that Dead Space 1 is better. And gotcha. I haven't finished yet, so I'm at the very end of chapter 11, and there's 12 chapters, and I hear the last two chapters are really short, so I'm very close to the end. And honestly, I think this game like is leaps and bounds. It's a different experience. So I guess without the first one, you can't really appreciate the second one for how different it is. But there's some parts in this game that are just, like, so cool, so diverse. And not only that, but, like, Isaac is a real human being in this game. He's not just a fucking quiet shell.
Yeah, I thought it was really weird at the end of the first one when he finds out that his wife, or girlfriend, sorry. don't get pissed off, Dylan.
What?
Last week when you jumped on me, it's not his wife.
Is that really?
Yeah,
that was probably me. But whatever.
Well, it was. I think it was after we recorded anyway. But anyway, he finds out she's dead, and like he's watching the video of her like killing herself, and like he's just kind of like looking over and like shaking his head, and like it's so hard to like,
oh, man,
to like see like, any. It's so hard to get the emotion like that. Yeah. He's because he says nothing all game. Yeah,
exactly.
You don't even see his face until 10 seconds before the credits roll.
Yeah, and so like the coolest part about Dead Space 2 and the voice actor they got was excellent, so good. Like there's parts me and Ray were like fangasming about like this one sequence on Dead Space 2. I'm not gonna spoil it, but like basically the person on the radio is like, the place is falling apart, you're not gonna make it, and he's like, hang on,
we're gonna make
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's like, hang on, I'll be there. He's like screaming. It's like really fucking intense, dude. And it's like, it's moments like that where I'm like, dude, there's no way, there's nothing like this in Dead Space 1,
Yeah.
You don't have any investment, really, in Isaac, he's just a shell. Yeah. And here, he's, like, a real dude, and it's awesome. And not only that, but, like, the whole time you're on the Ishimura in the first game, you're seeing the aftermath of what happened. Like, you run into, like, 1 or 2, maybe 3 people the entire fucking game that are left alive,
Yeah.
In Dead Space 2,
most of them kill themselves or die immediately after.
Yeah, yeah. But like in Dead Space 2, you're seeing the outbreak as it's happening, and it's really, really cool and really like you feel nervous. It really immerses you, at least me. And you get to see like an entire community, like the Ishimura for the most part, except for like these one little tiny areas. It looked like a freaky kind of Star Trek area where it's got this red lounge space. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, with like the red beds and couches and shit. So yeah, other than that, like Dead Space 1 is pretty much Alien. Like you're just walking through a bunch of like dark metal corridors. Yeah.
Well, you know, even what you just described, like with him, you know, responding to, reacting to people, like there were so many times in the first game where it's just like, say like, oh, well, now this isn't working. Well, now, hey, we gotta make, we can use this comm relay to do something. Oh, fuck. Well, half the satellites are busted. Better go fix them. And, like, he never says anything. Like, never frustration, never anger.
Exactly.
Never, like, can something fucking go right? Like, exactly. Nothing. He just, like, you hear the message, and then it's like, off I go.
Yeah. In Dead Space 2, he reacts to everything, man. Even when you're stomping on shit, if you stomp long enough, you hear him grunt. He's like, God, motherfucker! And he's like, just stomp. It's so great. It's really cool.
Yeah. I'm curious. My enjoyment of this game relies entirely on, is there a shitty turret sequence?
There is not. There's not one turret sequence, unless there's one in the last chapter. Which
that's actually the end of the mission. Yeah. Or the end of the game. It's the final it pulls a Halo reach on you. It goes Halo.
I'm never
going to
beat
you.
The game.
not only that, but like zero gravity isn't you jump and then you jump and then you jump. Like you have full analog control in a 3D space. You can
Man, zero G left. Basketball was awesome though.
Oh, fuck that game, by the way. God damn. Fuck that. Like I did the first two levels. And then I was like, okay, I looked at the achievement, I was like, how many? And it said 6, and I said, fuck that, and I left. 5 achievement points, not fucking worth it. Like, I kept losing the basketball, and then...
Man, I 100%ed like, that shit. One trophy away, still, from Dead Space Platinum. Dead Space 2 Platinum? Not gonna happen. Ever, ever, ever.
Why?
Because hardcore mode... Like, okay, so I'm playing... on hard. I'm playing one above normal because I'm like, oh dude, I fucking played through Dead Space 1 on the hardest difficulty for the most part, you know? Like I'm good. I'm a veteran. And so I'm playing on the hardest difficulty, but the last fucking levels, like it's like they just decide, well actually it's like you go through this incredible sequence. I think this is better than anything in Dead Space 1. You go through like 15 minutes where there's no combat. It's 15 minutes of just creating a mood and really freaking you out. And you're just in pitch black darkness with only your flashlight. And you're, let me just kind of say it. You're exploring the Ishimura after what happened and they cleaned up the ship. So you're just like seeing, and you're finding all these diaries of the people that have been cleaning the ship. And they're like, you know, they're talking about how, like, eerie the ship is and that they've heard scratching and shit and they don't feel safe. And, like, they're just building atmosphere for, like, 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes where you're just walking through the Ishimura, seeing all these familiar places, but they're covered in plastic and there's all this cleaning equipment everywhere. It's just such a great, great part of the game. I'm really proud that they did something like that. You don't fight anybody. But after that, you get a radio... call when you're still in there and they're like, oh my god, the necromorphs are breaking in, and then from then on up into where I'm at, it's fucking horrendous. It's like an onslaught that they don't stop. The game just like drops a bucket of necromorphs, and they're the black ones that don't die.
Oh god.
Yeah. And I'm not even playing on hardcore, you know, and I'm, dude, every single room is a nightmare. Every single room I'm like, I can't do this, you know, like I have to take a break, you know, and it takes countless retries. So, you know, hardcore mode, I assume they'd kill you faster. I'd assume there's more necromorphs, just like in the first one. And not only that, hardcore mode means you have 3 save slots, period. You use the 3, you can't save again until you beat the game. Not only that, there are no checkpoints. If you die, it goes to the last time you saved. So, no, I'm not going to fucking platinum.
So it's like 3. Zach when he plays Resident Evil 3.
Except for
he
there's
doesn't save
three,
at
except
all.
There's three ink ribbons, period.
I remember he didn't die at all. I mean, he didn't save at all, and then he died, and he's like, oh, I guess I have to start the game over.
Yeah, so, yeah, there's no way. There's no way I'm going to try for this platinum. Dead Space 2 will not be platinumed. Yeah, but other than that, though, like that that sequence that I just mentioned, and like not only that, but like you're seeing the outbreak happen, and so you're walking through all these different environments. You see like the shopping mall of this community, right? So you're walking around. There's all these like toy stores and furniture stores and stuff, and there's ads everywhere. It really grounds the universe, and there's colors, you know, and it's great. And then you walk through like a nursery area where like the kids are taught and stuff. And then there's just all these baby necromorphs that are really fucked up looking, right? There's all these children necromorphs that jump at you.
And you can, babies!
Like, I heard about the...
they're babies!
It was the guys talking about the pulse rifle and how useful it was against the babies.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, the children ones, though, it's the best thing about that is, like, you can take them out by swinging your arm. So you're just, like, fucking decking, like, 15 kids that are running at you. Just like, blah, blah. Because they die in one hit, no matter what weapon you're using or anything. So you can just, like, punch them all. It's great, dude. But not only that, but, like the environments. You get to see all these different places. You walk through, like, near the beginning of the game, you walk through an apartment building. And you're seeing all these necromorphs running around and shit. You're seeing people getting turned in front of you. And then not only that, but like there's all these apartments. Like you're seeing – you have all these doors all around you and you're walking through the hallway. And you can hear people in their apartments just screaming as they're getting murdered or as they're hiding and they're crying in their rooms. It's just great. It really makes you feel like you're a part of this invasion. And it's awesome. It's stuff that you never saw in the first game.
Yeah.
No, I'm a huge, huge fan of Dead Space 2.
Yeah. Spoilers. Also, I would say that seems like a logical progression. I mean, you make the first game and you see if it sticks, and then through that, you're given the opportunity to add all of this, you know, new stuff.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, there's, and not only that, but there's a lot of Uncharted 2 kind of set pieces. You know, you look at Dead Space 1 and Uncharted 1, like, they didn't have anything like that. They were all, you know, strictly just gameplay and then a cutscene. Great gameplay and a cutscene. So, like, it's cool that now there's just, like, there's shit where, like, you jump out of a fucking train while it's moving and you're still playing the game, you know, and you're flying to the next thing or you're hanging upside down, you know, and you're trying to hold off the necromorphs until you can break free, and it's, like, super intense. And there's a lot of great cinematic moments like that. Yeah. Really, really cool. So I think in every way, I mean, I haven't beat the game, so maybe there's a really bad taste in your mouth at the end, but I think in every way this is better than the first one. But you, like The Godfather 2, you probably couldn't appreciate it unless you played the first one.
Right.
Yeah. Other than that, I just played some Little Big Planet 2 tonight, and I had a fucking blast. I was playing it with Jeff and Sean. So much fun. But, yeah. I recommend both these games. I think Little Big Planet 2 more than Dead Space, but yeah. All right, Dylan.
Hi.
Yo.
Hi.
I've actually been playing the Wii. I've been playing Paper Mario.
What? Like the original, the N64 one?
Yeah.
Wow, that's random.
I know. Even more random. I've been playing A Link to the Past as well.
Nice.
I think other than that, let's see. We had a pretty fun Civilization match with Trin, and then Little Big Planet 2, and of course Mass Effect 2.
Speaking of Trin, he wrote that StarCraft article for us, and then in Tiny Chat, AJ whatever, AJ from IGN, he works there. He was like super pissed off that the screenshot that Trin provided us.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
He's like, that's the stupidest thing you could do. Fucking minerals, building it next to... I have no idea what the fuck he's talking about. It was super technical. Either. Yeah, I was like... And he was yelling at me. He's like, fucking fail. And I'm like, what? What? And he's like, your dumbass article on StarCraft. I'm like, what do you mean? And then he just spouted that shit. I'm like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I don't play StarCraft. But yes.
Trin actually defended himself on there. He was like, well, really? Yeah, I agree. Yeah, he replied sometime tonight. He was like, I would agree, but I was playing against the computer with an ally. So, like, he had, like, a whole logical argument for why he did it. I don't know.
Intense. I need to check that out.
Yeah.
Let me get mad about Trin playing the game real quick. And
you jelly?
So you ain't playing it right.
Is that it, Dylan?
Yeah, actually, that is it. I bought No One Lives Forever 2, but it's not here yet.
Come on, you maggots, you want to live forever.
I don't know if anybody, any of you guys played the original of that.
Nope.
No One Lives Forever.
Nope.
No.
It's a pretty awesome first-person shooter. You're like a 60s spy. It's pretty sweet. But I won't explain.
How does it compare to Bulletstorm?
Okay, let's talk about that demo real quick.
I haven't played it. Why are you asking me these?
What do you think of that demo, Ryan?
Why are you asking me this?
I just said I haven't played it.
Oh, God damn it.
Has anybody played it?
Yeah, I have.
How is it?
It's beautiful, very gorgeous. It runs really, really well, but I don't see the point, honestly. Like, I loved the idea of the game when they explained it and all that, but, like, in practice, I'm like, this doesn't lend itself to, like, a sort of Pac-Man or, you know, an arcade-y kind of comparing scores kind of format, to me, at least. I mean, like, you have your whip, and you have your kick, and then you have your gun. That's, you have three things to mess around with. And that, you really stretch your possibilities of, like, getting creative, you know, like, you only have three options, and then you have, like, environmental things, but those are all scripted anyway, so, I mean, I'm not digging it at all.
I'm confused. What is it?
Bulletstorm is a point-based game, kind of arcadey. Like, you hop into a level, and you have a bunch of enemies to take down creatively, quote-unquote, with your different abilities. Like, there's environmental stuff to try out. And then you have your three different abilities. You can kick a guy, and then it goes slow motion. You can shoot him in different areas. Like,
so it's like the club.
Yeah,
that's what exactly. I was about to ask. Was did you guys play the club?
Yeah, I have, but it's better. It's definitely better than the club because the club was literally just walking around and shooting.
Wasn't it like only six levels?
The club
levels?
Was all right,
if you say so. But you know, the club though, literally you just shoot people, and where you shoot them, you get your points from. So. Yeah. I mean, this has more going on than that. I mean,
this is more creative.
Yeah, I mean, this, you can, like, whip a guy, pull him towards you, kick him, and then shoot him in the nuts, and you get, like, a nut explosion slash whip. You know, you get a combo for everything you do.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's all about scores, though. At the end of the day, you're trying to compete with your friends, and it's more of an arcadey experience in that sense, where you're trying to get a high score. But to me, that kind of gameplay doesn't really translate too well to that. It's not simple enough, as bad as that sounds. Like, I'd rather have something like Pac-Man where you know what you're doing and you just try to perfect it. I mean, this is kind of such a open-ended mixed bag, but at the same time, like, I'm so used to shooters being, you know, of single-player experience to a certain extent. Or if it's multiplayer, then it's like a competitive working together kind of thing. I don't know. It didn't click with me. The demo, it was beautiful. It ran well, but I really saw the limitations. And maybe I'm wrong, but from what I can tell, I mean, it just seemed kind of boring. Like, I played it for 10 minutes, and I'm like, it looks beautiful, but
would you pay $60 for it?
Absolutely not. You know, I mean, I deleted the demo like after I was done with it that first try. I was like, well, I'm not gonna play that again.
Isn't this Epic or
it? No, it's People Can Fly. I think Epic is really like helping and promoting the shit out of this because they're using the Unreal Engine to make it. I think it's what Epic likes to do. I think Epic likes to really show off how badass their engine is when there's a product that's using it that really shows it off.
Well, I guess it's a smart way to market.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Epic has some more stuff going on with the team, especially since like Epic's name is on the thing. But People Can Fly is the developer, and I don't know if it's EA. I think EA is the publisher.
Epic has their own shit going on right now too. With Gears 3 and a supposed Kinect game. Yeah. Also, real quick, did anyone else read today about the Kinect Halo being registered by Microsoft as a,
yeah,
a website?
Yeah, I saw that.
Like, God, I hope it was just a name grab. God, I can't even.
You know, that could be anything, though.
You know, I don't really mind. I haven't bought one since number
yeah,
three.
Yeah, I just think it would be. I hope it's like a. My friends and I were talking today on email when we read it. We were hoping it's like an exercise game where you're doing like.
The
elite dodge, and then you're doing like the grunt scream and run.
I mean, you laugh, but that's
like,
kind of what
the
I
multiplayer
was
version is: get your friend to lay on the floor and do teabags.
So, so it's like Mario Party.
Yeah.
But with Halo characters.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like,
it's like
be
your
just,
shape with Halo characters.
I mean, Halo Kinect could just be like this really simple, casual game that just uses your avatars wearing fucking Master Chief gear equipment. It could be anything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I don't really care. All right. Well, do you guys hear that?
I do, actually. This time.
Ooh.
Mail, motherfucker.
All right. Diallo Kamara says, as a child of the 80s and 90s, I find myself torn. With the advent of current gen consoles, graphics may have eclipsed gameplay. I mean, I think gameplay nerd, I say this because I had a, I think I'm a gameplay nerd, I say this because I had a lot of fun with games that weren't graphic powerhouses. Bionic Commando Rearmed and Scott Pilgrim come to mind.
I like the way both of those looked.
I think gameplay nerds are still out there, which may explain why emulators will not die. LOL. On the other hand, I love graphics as well, so I'm a bit confused. But to me, the industry is trending towards graphics over gameplay, and I find this may be the wrong path. So I ask, which are your graphics? Wait, which are you? Graphics whores or gameplay nerds, and why?
To be honest, we've been trending towards graphics for the last, like, 8 years.
Well, also, at the same time, I don't necessarily agree with that sentiment. Like, I think we're still seeing a lot of gameplay stuff.
Yes.
We still see a lot
right
of gameplay
that.
Stuff. And even in the really graphically beautiful games.
I think that's fucking nonsense to say, oh, well, we've been getting better graphics, so clearly that's all we care
but
about.
But you know what? The big blockbusters and juggernauts are leaning towards graphics over gameplay.
Yeah, you know? But are they really? I mean, are they really?
I think
I mean,
so.
Yeah,
how
really
are they?
That's all we hear when people see it is, oh my God, it looks so beautiful.
So,
But that's because that you always see visuals first. Like, you're not playing it. You don't even know.
Not only that, but like, how are they less playable than the older games? You know, they're not. I mean, they're just as playable. I mean,
we're getting inundated with first-person shooters, and a lot of those are the same, and yeah, those are kind of those are definitely, a lot of those, I mean, they're kind of working off a known starting quantity, and then you just, a lot of those are, you know, graphics are what sell it, but there are so many other types of games that have so many different gameplay mechanics, and you're seeing those now, and you're seeing so many new types of gameplay mechanics these days that I don't think you have to choose one way or the other.
Yeah, and the only argument I can see where like people take graphics over something like gameplay is when you have a scripted sequence where you have like something that will happen no matter what, and just because it looks cool. But at the same time, I mean, if you're still interacting, that's still gameplay, and that's just like, you know, I don't mind that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, like, for example, in Uncharted 2, you're running across a bridge. The bridge like starts to break, and so it goes to like a sort of scripted cutscene where you're sliding down the bridge and you see Chloe sliding on the side, and you have to like try to shoot the thing that's beating her to death while you're sliding down, and that's all scripted, but you're still, you know, that's still gameplay going on within that. I don't think that's a bad thing. I mean, and I'm happy it's there. I'd rather it be there than, oh no, it's all about gameplay, you know, we shouldn't worry about, you know, stuff like that. I mean, I think you get the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
I can't think of a game off the top of my head right now where I'm like, God, man, I wish they wouldn't have focused so much on the graphics. it would have made the gameplay better. I mean,
a game, bad gameplay is bad gameplay. Like, you're gonna notice it one way or the other, and you're gonna notice the good. It's just
actually, you know what? I take that back. Final Fantasy 13. I wish they wouldn't have focused so much on the graphics. So,
okay, true.
There you go, Diablo. You go. Final Fantasy 13.
Well, I was going to say myself, I prefer gameplay, but I'm not drawn to just pretty graphics. I like a style to it. I still think Okami is still the most visually appealing game I can think of.
But you know, that's up to what you think is good graphics or not. I mean, of course, like, beautiful style will always trump, you know, the amount of processing power it needs or whatever. I mean,
how many polygons we have in a model?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, fucking Pixel Junk Eden is one of the most visually stunning games to me on my PS3, and that's like so simple. You can make that in Flash, really, but it's beautiful. You know, I mean, saying that something has amazing graphics doesn't always mean that it had, you know, hundreds of people on a team pushing polygons and making incredible, you know, things happen. So, yeah, it's all about the style. And I think saying that good graphics is limited to that is nonsense.
Yeah, and I also think that when you look at I think most people would say, well, of course I would rather a game. Like, no one wants to play something that's just garbage, regardless of how good it looks. Like, if it doesn't work, like, but at the same time, it's like, I think most people would prefer better gameplay, but I don't think there's any reason to have to choose. Like, I don't think we're in a situation where we have to choose. Like, I just don't think that's the case. Like, you can get both very easily. Like, it's out there in abundance.
I mean, if you really want to, like, a perfect example is Sonic Unleashed. Like, I mean, let's be completely honest. Even the Werehog areas, they look fine. They look pretty good, actually. The lighting is pretty impressive, and the character models look fine. But the gameplay is so fucking awful that it doesn't matter. I mean, that's a perfect example of, you know, gameplay always trumps graphics, you know?
Yeah.
But for the most part, you're not having that conversation. You're not having the conversation that, like, you know, the gameplay is, if the gameplay is bad, the game is bad. You never see a game get a good review just because the graphics are so good. Never.
Yeah.
If the game is fun, it gets a good review.
It was boring as shit, impossible to play, but goddamn, it looked good.
Exactly. Final Fantasy 13. Cough, cough. No.
Yeah, that had tens all around, man.
All right, next question is from Callan Morris. Well, actually, let's ask. Diago says, are we graphics whores or gameplay nerds? I think any proper gamer is more of a gameplay nerd because we want something that's fun to play, regardless of how it looks.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Callan Morrison says, if you guys could have a party of three characters, not including yourself, from any video game to aid you on your suicide mission, from whom they would... There would be but one of... Or, blah, 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 suicide mission. Whom would they be, yet one of them has to die?
I like how he said we can't include ourselves as though we are video game characters to this person.
I'm gonna die.
A party of three, not including myself.
Oh, so three other people with us.
Yeah, from any video game. On a suicide mission, but one of them has to die. I'd have Claire Redfield.
Samus. Samus, Shepard, and Mega Man.
Shepard.
Ooh.
Wait, male Shepard or femme Shep?
Oh,
man.
And is she a bitch?
Man, you got Samus in there, and then you throw in femme Shep and have her be all nice. Like, then we can kill Mega Man and have a three-way.
There you go.
Mega Man dies, and then me, Samus, and Femme Shep go back to my place.
Whoa.
Kill Samus.
Dude.
What?
I think I'd go Claire Redfield, fucking Solid Snake, and Luigi. And Luigi would die.
Luigi.
You know, like, if the thing that would kill him would be, like, a microwave hallway, I would drop kick Luigi into the fucking hallway and lock the door and watch him melt to death. Piece of shit.
Wah! harsh, man.
Yeah, yeah, well, that's the price to save the universe. It's the price we have to pay.
One of you, like, the only requirement was one of you must enter this microwave room and die, and the universe will be saved. All right.
You'd think it'd be Solid Snake going through the microwave hallway, but no, no, no. Fucking Luigi.
Huh. Oh, myself, I would have TG Sid from Final Fantasy Tactics, because he breaks the game. Bentley from Sly Cooper, because he's the brains, and
fucking
I need
Bentley.
Fucking idiot. And I need someone as the sacrificial lamb.
Lightning.
Yeah, why not?
Fucking bitch.
So we can sacrifice her at the end.
Put Dylan down for Luigi too.
Yeah, yeah, Luigi. Why yeah. not? He's a sacrificial lamb.
Ass clown. All right, Ben Keller writes in, "Hey guys, with Mass Effect 2 now on PS3, I'm starting to look back and remember all the funny hidden Easter eggs BioWare put into the game, such as the Solarian RPG gamer on the Citadel, probing Uranus, referencing to elevators,
and the Hanar and Asari tentacle porn game,
and having one of Legion's idle animations be him doing the robot. My question is, did you guys catch any of these hidden moments? If so, what is your favorite?"
Yeah, I think I brought this up last week when I was talking about the Lair of the Shadow Broker, when they make a reference to when they're hacking that door to get into it, into the base, and he's like, "Remember back in the days when you just smear Metagel on anything? Or what, Omnigel, whatever it's called?"
Omnigel.
Yeah.
I really like the dossiers at the end of Lair of the Shadow Broker. You can read all these like private like things about each one of your crew, and Legion plays Call of Honor, and he's like the top player on the server, and he plays like their version of World of Warcraft, and they think he's a bot.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't remember. I never really caught any of this stuff. That's kind of cool. Legion doing the robot.
Yeah, and I do remember. I remember the gamer in this. I guess I was in the Citadel. When you go to the game shop and talk to the guy, he's going through all the different games that he plays, and it's all like in-game versions of stuff that people play here, like World of Warcraft and StarCraft, and I think StarCraft is one of them, but just railing off games that obviously have different names, but you know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I think there was another one on one of the news things when it talks about Ashley, and she says something about aliens that really nice about them, when it's a pretty much a rewording what she said from the first game, except she's like, "You can't trust any damn alien," and they completely turn it around, so it seems like she's all nice about it.
All right, next question is from our boy Ramesh Martin. He says,
"I thought he did."
You thought he did?
I thought he did.
I thought he did. All right, he says, "Hey, Motorboaters. The Oscar nominations came out recently and got me thinking. What were your favorite movies from last year?"
I don't know.
Ooh.
I didn't see a lot of movies last year.
It's funny, my favorite movies from last year had nothing to do with the nominations. Scott Pilgrim and Kick-Ass were my favorite movies that I saw last year.
Mine was actually Scott Pilgrim and Black Swan.
Black Swan was awesome. Yeah, very good.
Yeah, I did really like...
I like the fighter too.
Scott Pilgrim.
I like the fighter. I didn't love the fighter, but it was good. It was very good.
To be honest, I think Black Swan was my movie of the year.
And speaking of which, okay, so hold on. The fighter, I tweeted after I saw that. I'm like, wow, that was actually like a very good movie. So if the Uncharted movie, even if it's not a good Uncharted movie, I'm pretty sure it's going to be a good movie. And then I got so much hate after tweeting that, but like people were like, "Go see Max Payne and see if you think the same thing." But the thing is, yeah, Mark Wahlberg's going to be Nathan Drake, but fucking, what's his face? The director of...
I don't think the director did Max Payne, did he?
A fucking course not. No, the director of The Fighter had nothing to do with Max Payne. The director of The Fighter is doing Uncharted, though, so suck it. And they also both did Three Kings, which I love. The movie's awesome.
I still don't like Mark Wahlberg, but I don't mind the director.
Yeah, I'm just saying that movie's probably going to be decent. It's probably going to be a good movie. It's probably not going to be good for Uncharted fans, though. But
I'm trying to see if my mic is definitely picking that up. My dog is barking right now.
Oh, yeah,
I can hear a dog right now.
Ah, who cares? Our listeners understand. Woof woof. Got anything you want to add, Ryan?
No, I really like Scott Pilgrim. Honestly, I saw that. I saw Kick-Ass. When did The Men Who Stare at Ghosts come out? That came out 2009.
Last year. That came out 2010, I believe.
Oh, did it? Well, yeah.
No, you're right. 2009. It was November.
Yeah. I don't really know what else I went and saw this past year. Inception was this year. I didn't see Inception.
Oh, okay.
I did not spend much time at the movies this past year.
That's okay.
All right. Ramesh also says, name your top three movies or just ones that you recommend. Fight Club is my favorite movie of all time.
Yeah, listing a top set would be tough, but yeah, I would definitely recommend that one as well.
Yeah. Jackie Chan's Who Am I? I've been doing a Jackie Chan marathon on Tiny Chat. I've watched every movie in my catalog. I'm not done yet, but I've gone through like six already, and everybody in Tiny Chat watched me watch the movie. It's pretty sweet. So, nice. I'm saving Who Am I for last because honestly, it's the best Jackie Chan movie. I might go pick up Karate Kid because I love that. I really, really dug it. So I'll probably, yeah, that's a good one too. But yeah, Who Am I? The Jackie Chan. Check that out, and also Fight Club. And Anacondas 2, The Hunt for the Blood Orchid.
Oh, yeah, Doug. Yeah,
fucking amazing.
Oh, man.
I tend to stick to, like, comedies. I don't know why. I guess those are just the movies that appeal to me more. But I don't know. Like, especially if we have younger listeners, like, go check out The Big Lebowski, because I get the impression that that movie is starting to lose.
No.
Yeah, especially as people get... No. I mean, I still love it, but I think... As you know, younger people come up, I think fewer and fewer people have seen it.
Dumb and Dumber is a classic.
Dumb and Dumber.
It's a classic, man.
It is.
So funny.
It is. The Big Lebowski is great.
Hot Rod.
Oh my god.
No. How about no?
Look, yeah, I just punched Dance out my anger in the woods.
God damn it. Okay, me?
You, Dylan. So, yeah, go ahead and say something. If I think of anything else, I'll jump
My number one would be From Russia with Love. Then The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. And what was my last one? I had it on the... Oh, yeah, Blade Runner.
Mm.
I was going to...
How about Canadian Bacon? God, Bacon. I love that movie. It's got John Candy in it. God. That would be so funny.
Candied bacon. It's like dog treats for humans. Smart.
Cooking without borders. Unless those borders are bacon.
Stop hating. All right, next question is from Nathan Savage. He says, what gaming achievements are you guys most proud of? You don't have to have trophy or achievements to prove it. For me, it was... Wait, what? You don't have... To have trophy or an achievement.
What? I think he's saying achievement in general. What video game? Like, what have you done in a video game?
Okay. For me, Metal Gear Solid 3 on European Extreme was one of the most grueling... Well, not grueling. It's just challenging and satisfying experiences.
Worse than number 2?
Yeah, European Extreme is like...
Because of the lack of map?
Lack of map and just... You get caught and it's game over immediately. And
yeah,
you know, that's just notorious for being the hardest challenge in Metal Gear, is the third one on European Extreme. That was like a great feeling beating that.
Yeah, I might say, probably, I didn't even realize that this was such an achievement until I got older and found out that how other people viewed the game. But beating Battletoads.
Oh wow! Like,
hell yeah!
Like almost daily. Like I would just sit down and beat that game. Like
wow.
And then you're sick. That's how I used to play games back in the day. It was like I'd beat them and just keep beating them. I can't do that now, obviously. But then again, back in the NES days, if you knew how to beat a game, you could beat it in an hour or two. You know, you could just fly through it. That and also my mad skills back in the day at Crimson Skies for Xbox. I was ranked pretty highly on the world leaderboards on Xbox Live. So I was pretty proud of that. That was I bought that game and Xbox Live the same day, because I wanted to go play people online in that game.
Dylan, anything?
Oh, beating Contra. I can't really think of very many that I say I'm proud of. But
oh my god,
beating Contra was probably the hardest thing.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a dog barking through like half of this podcast. The entire podcast. I don't even know what he's barking at.
There's probably some murderer in your house.
I wish I could say I beat Super Ghouls and Ghosts, but I fucking gave up.
Fuck that game. Alright, well, Nathan Savage also continues and he says that his greatest achievement was beating the attack boss in Killzone 2 by hiding behind the pillar in the middle of the area for cover. And then finding out a week later that there was a fucking tunnel underneath that you were supposed to use to hide. He says, it may be the stupidest thing I've ever done in a game, so maybe I shouldn't be proud of it. And to that I say, I know exactly what he's talking about. I did exactly the same thing with that fucking boss.
Which game was this?
Killzone 2.
Oh, okay.
There's this like flying robot thing, and you're on this rooftop by yourself, and you have a rocket launcher. That thing kills you in like 3 or 4 seconds of being like in its sights, in its line of fire.
You're talking about, yeah, where you could run underneath the little awning or whatever.
Exactly, and up above there's just that beam, like one beam in the middle of.
No. I found that quick.
See, me and Nathan Savage had the same idea. We used that fucking beam as cover because we didn't know about the rest of it.
I think the reason that I went down there to begin with is because I was running low on ammo, and I was like, fuck, I need ammo! And so I just looked everywhere.
Yeah.
Ended up down there. I was like, oh, this is way better.
Yeah. and not only that, but like, that was when the game was brand new, when it was almost unplayable before the patch.
Yeah.
Fucking hell. Thank God Killzone's better now. But yeah, no, I feel you, Nathan. I went through the same shit. Alright, our final question, finally, is from Justin Doss, my homie from Tiny Chat.
Holla.
Yeah, recognize.
I do recognize the name.
Yeah, I recognize
you him. Better recognize.
I did.
Yeah, we do.
I did.
Hey, so let's face it, Japan has fallen off the map, video game-wise. How would you guys revitalize the Japanese RPG?
Give
us a pitch.
No, I like JRPGs. I just don't like Final Fantasy 13.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I feel like they should just try to stay to formula. Just make good stories, you know?
Yeah.
You know, I do like, I would like if they innovate, but not in the way Final Fantasy 13 did.
Well, from what I hear, like 10 and 10-2 were like the best, you know, combat there has been in Final Fantasy. So I mean,
10-2 is probably the pinnacle.
Although I don't really know if I like the idea of changing jobs like that. I mean, that reminds me like way too much of the momentum shift or whatever the fuck it's called in Final Fantasy 13.
Paradigm shift.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't like that at all.
Wasn't it though? Because you're changing the class. Well,
you could switch class from a healer and stuff, but it wasn't. What is it? It wasn't full of the auto attack.
Yeah, but you know, the paradigm shift is all about, you know, changing what your characters can do. I mean, I guess.
Well, that's when fine. You think about it, that was pretty much number 10 as well, because you were switching characters to.
I don't know.
You would switch from okay. Well, you would switch from a heavy hitter to the only person that could heal, or.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
but as far as like Justin started it with, you know, Japanese game development has fallen off the map, I almost disagree. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of shit, but there's a lot of shit coming out from the West too. And honestly, I think there's more
Isn't the Wii the number one console in the running? And that I think that one's mostly Japanese games. Mario.
I would say that. Like, if you're talking about the whole library, there's
and
a lot.
Also,
of...
quality. Yeah. Quality on the Wii isn't exactly.
Yeah.
Just because it sells a lot.
I should say the big sellers on that system are the.
Well, that's always been the
Marios
case with,
and stuff.
That's
and
always
those are...
been the case with Nintendo. And you know, whenever someone says the Japanese industry has lost its way, I mean, Nintendo is always excluded from that. Nintendo always makes quality games. Period. You know, that's never under the umbrella of that statement. But
well, also, some of their biggest franchises that have put out really good games have been a developer sitting in Texas.
You know, did you see that? Did you see that news article today? I'm so fucking happy. Donkey Kong Country sold 4.7 million copies. Hell yeah!
Nice.
Hell yeah! Way to go, Retro. We're such fanboys. Like, I don't even care.
You take Metroid and Donkey Kong, which are arguably two of their biggest franchises, and you handed it to a Western studio who made freaking incredible games.
Absolutely.
You know, with two of their franchises.
Yeah. But that aside, I mean, the notion that the Japanese, like, have kind of stopped innovating, or they've lost touch with the industry, I can see what you're getting at with a lot of the games that have come out and just flop. You know, especially out of Square Enix, like they make some garbage. But yeah. Like, what was it? Yeah. That fucking
Front Mission Evolved.
Front Mission Evolved, or what was that game? Like Jacked or Mind Jacked.
Mind Jacked.
Fucking hell!
You know
that
what?
Was
actually,
the worst game of E3. That was like the shittiest game I played at E3.
Actually, Nier wasn't that bad.
Yeah,
if you could get past the fishing
and the horrible, ugly character.
But
I hated the design of both characters
and the stupid name.
But what I'm getting at is that, like, there's still developers like Grasshopper Manufacture that make, you know, No More Heroes and Killer 7, you know, the Suda 51's team. They're fucking awesome, and they're doing things that you can't find in any fucking you can't find it in the West or the East. Like, that is truly unique game design and just ideas. They're just insane stuff that you never find in the industry, which is great.
We had who did Vanquish,
and that's the next studio. Platinum Games have released.
They did Bayonetta and Vanquish.
Bayonetta, Vanquish, Mad World. You know, and they're releasing a game that's a lot like Mad World on the PS3 360 this year. And then they're also making another game. Oh, I can't remember the genre, but it was like a totally different genre than what they've done already. Like, that is, and all of those games, every single one of them, has been like excellent. They've been really,
you know,
really quality shit, and they're all totally different from the same studio.
I think most of this hate is exclusively on the JRPG
Why you
genre.
Hate? Block out all the haters.
Which, you know what? That does make sense. The RPG genre in general has been stagnating for years, but I mean, doesn't mean that their industry is dying.
Yeah. Yes, it does.
I mean, as you know, look at Valkyria Chronicles. That's Japanese as fuck, and that's an amazing game. The problem is it didn't sell well. I mean, and that's a damn shame, but it's their fault. They should have marketed that to the right, you know, the right way. You know, what did they expect to happen? Instead of putting trophies on the fucking game, which is what all the hardcore fans were waiting for, they decided to release like really shitty DLC with just some characters. Like, that is poor decision making as a business.
I wanted the sequel.
They got the sequel on
the
PSP.
I know, on the PSP.
Yeah, because they couldn't afford, you know, making a game for the PS3 is significantly more expensive. But you know, I'm just looking at my fucking list here. It's just like, you know, you even look at Devil May Cry, they've ported that, now that's a French developer, the Ninja Theory. I think they're French. And
it's not even
coming out of Japan anymore now. It's like, well, what is that team doing? And like the Resident Evil team, that now that's going over to the SOCOM team, or not, yeah, the SOCOM Confrontation team. Like, what's going on over there? You know, I mean, and it's not like Resident Evil 5 was bad. It's not bad at all. It's a great game. It's just not, it didn't keep up with the times is the problem. You know, you look at Dead Space, how you can control yourself so well. And then you play Resident Evil 5 and you're like, God, what the fuck were they doing? You know, I mean, they just need to wake up a little bit. And, you know, there are studios from Japan that are doing things that none of the rest of the industry is doing. So Japan's not out of the game just yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In hell.
All right, well, that was good, Justin. If we were having a contest, you might just win. But we're not.
All this mail is making me thirsty.
With that, that is the end of reader mail and the end of our show.
That's the end.
It's time for some housekeeping.
Housekeeping.
I want to let you listeners know that we are on iTunes. Find us. Game Over Nation. Look at us on iTunes.
Are we on Zune Marketplace yet?
I haven't looked to see if it's worked. Anyways, subscribe to us on iTunes. Rate us on iTunes. Review us on iTunes. Show us
some love.
Tell
your friends. Tell all your friends.
Tell your friends about me.
Okay.
Don't say it all creepy like that, though.
Let me tell you about Javi Rodriguez. No.
Anyways, he has a garage.
Help the nation grow. We need our army to grow. Blah. All right.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Make sure to check out gameovernation.com. We're putting up articles every week. Make sure to comment on each thing to tell us what you think, whether we suck or not.
Yeah, we totally suck.
Send in shitty box art to the show so we can do a box art review someday.
Which we still
no, we won't.
One of these days. One of these days. We promise.
No, we won't.
Screw you, children.
And yeah, I mean, follow us on Twitter. Game Over Nation is the show's thing on Twitter that lets you know when every show is up and article and whatever we happen to be doing on the internet. Ryan, you're Airstrike Rhino.
Yes.
Dylan is fucking Dilanosaurus.
Boy.
I am Juvie008OK. But you can find us all on the sidebar at GameOverNation.com. Well, until next time, we will see you later.